I'm glad you're here. With this holiday weekend, you never know. Some people are running everywhere, and maybe you're going to run after church, but thank you for being here before you run. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we're together. It's been a good weekend. I know a lot of folks are working on those last-minute home improvement projects, working on things, trying to get them ready for weather gets worse in the coming months. And I was doing some things outside yesterday after I did some visiting. And you got those nettles, you know, is that what those things are called? They look like just a weed, but it's got this little hair type splinters. You got to reach way down low on those things because they get you. So I reached way down low, but apparently not low enough. So I was trying to pull it up out of there and got one in my finger there, and it still hurts today some, but that's just the way yard work goes. And so after that, I was working on some things. I was reaching up underneath the deck. I was doing some little work on the edge of it, and I wanted to see where the nail was sticking out. And I reached up there, same finger, and I felt something hit me right there on the knuckle, the other side of it. I got stung. Man, that finger's been bad. It must have been pointing to too many people. It's really taking a beating lately. But so I looked up underneath there, and there was just this real small up in those cavities up underneath our deck, and there's a real small little wasp nest. I thought, well, there was all dried up, so that can't be it. So then I looked into the next one. Boy, I thought that one was something. There's a big old yellow jacket's nest, and they were just crawling all over that thing. My life flashed before my eyes. I thought, oh my word, I got to get out of here. So I pulled back, and I went downstairs in the basement, and I thought, well, I'm gonna fight them somehow. I couldn't light them on fire because my deck could go up, and so I knew that was a bad idea. I tried that one time, not on the deck, but somebody's out in the yard. And but I thought, well, I was looking all through stuff down there, and I had this milk carton of old stuff, and there was one ant and roach spray. And it wasn't at this house. It was at least from the house before, but I think it was from the house in Murfreesboro. So I think I hauled it to Ohio, then hauled it down here and still had never used it. So I thought, well, these aren't ants or roaches, but I don't have anything else. And so I thought, I don't even know if this stuff works. And so I sprayed it there, and it did, but it wasn't a stream. I was wanting like a fire hose stream, you know, so you get back from them, but it just kind of gave a gentle little pshh. That's all I could find, though. So I thought, well, I ain't going to leave them because it was out there. I was afraid one of the girls would be out there on the deck and it'd stir them up and we'd get stung. So I went underneath there and I sprayed them and I sprayed. And I got back as far as I could. I sprayed. And when they'd fall, I'd spray down. When they'd swell up, I'd spray up. And when they'd go down, I'd spray down. I sprayed about the whole can on there. And I don't know what it does for yellow jackets. I do some, but I know what it does for humans. I don't think it's good for us because I think I'm coughing some since I did all that. But I got them, and I just kept hosing them down. I don't know whether that ant and roach spray worked or whether I just doused them good enough with the liquid, but thankfully, I lived to tell about it. So that was my outdoor experience yesterday. So thankfully, as far as I know, we're yellow jacket free over at 169 Victory Lane, so we're good to go. But I thank you for being here. I know a lot of folks are doing projects and all these things, and traveling. But thank you for being in church on Sunday morning this holiday weekend. I'm looking at Psalm 37. I want to preach to you about three words that are found in this passage. As you find your place in Psalm 37, I heard this story just last week about this adult man lived with his mother. But this adult man, he was the pastor of the church. And so he was. It was Sunday morning. His mom hollered upstairs, said, get ready, get to your church. He said, I ain't going. She said, what do you mean you ain't going? He said, I ain't going. I ain't going down there. Say, they don't like me, and I don't like them, frankly. She said, well, huh. He said, well, okay, this guy, he's down there. He said, well, he hollered down again. He said, well, I ain't going. She said, yeah, you are. She said, give me two reasons why you're supposed to go. He said, well, number one, you're 47 years old. Just get up and get to church. Number two, you're the pastor, so you need to be there. So, Psalm 37, verse number 4, my pastor on Psalm 4 and 5 is his life verse, and my wife bought him a name plaque one time and had it engraved on there with his name and this reference on there, verses 4 and 5. We're going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5, and I want to preach about how to face uncertainty, because I can't guarantee, nor can you, what's going to happen in this world. But I can just be sure by all the people I've talked to in the last days that we've got a lot of uncertainty. The Bible says in verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Again, my pastor's life verses these next two, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We often want to know how to face uncertainty, but when we face uncertainties, we get frustrated when those answers don't come. When they don't come through like we want them to, it's easy enough to be strong for just a short time, but sometimes those uncertainties, they linger on and on and on. And today I'd like to preach to us about that, how to face uncertainties. The immature child might read this passage, verse number four, and think it's like a verse that references a genie that you rub the side of that, like in some old cartoon, and where it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord; He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It's true that God does promise to move on our behalf. And I realize that there's two in the equation when I've got something going on, and those two are me and God. Can I tell you where the fault always lies? It's not with Him, but with me. And when we live in this uncertain day, I want to preach to you about three words and trust that they'll bless your heart as they did mine. Father, be with us now is our prayer. We'll thank you, dear Lord, for what you do in our lives. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in this moment in time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number three says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust, that word just literally means to believe with no suspicion. Just trust. You think about a child that's up on the tailgate of a pickup truck or maybe up on a little 3 or 4 foot wall, and that child looks down at his dad who has proven himself faithful, and that dad says, jump, and that son just jumps off there because he hasn't had the thought that dad won't catch him. He just jumps into the arms of his dad. He trusts. Now, you adults in here, number one, we need a lot bigger person to catch most of us, but we also are so suspicious. We wouldn't have the confidence in that person down there. Oh, I'll jump, because we've had too many times when the person, stepped aside and let us fall. But this word trust quite literally means just believe on with no suspicion. This world that we live in, it brings the idea of doubt and not certainty, and what could we count on? We live to be careless sometimes, but this world helps us to, in a bad way, helps us to live with a lot of care. But the Bible in verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. I want you to see about this trust. It just literally means that you can lean way back in the arms of Jesus. And I'm asking you this morning, are you living that way? People disappoint you. Problems will keep on coming. Devices in this world, they will always come to a place where they hurt you if they get a chance. But sometimes we get so cynical that we don't even trust the Lord. Our guard is up so much. But Scripture says that I'm supposed to be that one that trusts. I want you to look further in the verse. It says, trust in the Lord. And then it goes on and says what you do after you trust. It says you do good. And that phrase, do good, literally means to do today what you know you're supposed to do. We often worry about next week or next month or even next year. What's going to happen? Somebody say, man, I don't know what we're going to do. That girl, she's in, I don't know what we're going to do about college. And I don't know what we're going to do about this. And I don't know about dating. And I don't know about this. And then this other person looked at him and says, how old is she? Oh, she's 2 months. The Nolte's have a 5-week-old. They're worried about some of those things. We worry so much about what's not happened yet that we're not even functioning in what's going on now. The Scripture says you trust in the Lord and do good. I would challenge you that sometimes we let what needs to be done today leave undone because we're worrying about what we don't even know will happen next week. And so the Scripture says do good. And then it says after you get to do good, and the Lord, and then you will get to dwell. So shalt thou dwell in the land. These promises were given in the Jews' day. In the reference, they would have been talking about a physical land. You trust in the Lord, do good, and God will give you this land. Now, our promises aren't necessarily as quite so physical, but more and spiritual, but it's still just as true that you do good with the things that you know God has put in front of you, and then we get to dwell. That word dwell, just for your information, means permanently stay. It means stability. And that's where we want our lives at. We want our lives to be those lives that are described in that way, to dwell in the land, that stable dwelling. But you're looking at it saying, Pastor, all of these things are unstable. They're just going to and fro. And that's exactly who I'm talking to, us that have this world that's just running helter-skelter and wild and crazy. How we're supposed to face those uncertainties is to trust in the Lord. I've come today to tell you that He's always good. You can always trust Him. I understand that people let you down, but you and I must find ourselves alone with the Lord and able to trust in Him. Not only does He give us that, look at verse number 4. He says also after this, delight thyself also in the Lord. Not only do we trust, but delight. This little word just means to make soft and luxurious. I think about the Nulties are here this morning. Mozambique won't be soft and luxurious. It'll be a lot of hard work when they get over there. But they would rather be there than be here. Because God's will is better than being out of God's will, no matter what it is. And this phrase, this word rather means soft and luxurious. And the Bible says in Psalm 5, with favor will thou compass him or surround him as with a shield. Make soft and luxurious. My aunt, she used to have this big, I didn't even know what a chaise lounge was at that point, but had this big old chaise lounge. It probably went from this handrail almost over, or probably over to where this ends. And that thing just went down and then up and then down. We thought we were on like a slide, but it wouldn't slide because it was all furry. And this was way back then, you know. And it was all furry and fluffy. And we'd just lay up there like kings. We thought people should be feeding us grapes and fanning us with one of those palm leaves or something real soon. We just lay out there. Boy, it was soft and luxurious. We thought we were something. Now, Mozambique won't be soft and luxurious like that. But it will be where God wants the Nulties to be. And this word that we see means to make soft and luxurious what God has. Sometimes we as preachers, we make serving the Lord seem so hard and rocky, not soft and luxurious. But remember this, my friend. When you get to lay your head down at night and you know you've served the Lord, you've done what you were supposed to, you went out and you served the Lord at your job so that you could provide for the family that God gave you, you can lay your head down at night knowing that you did what you were supposed to do, and it makes God's way pleasant. Haven't we all gone to bed thinking that we missed a few things? But then we've also pillowed our head a few times when He said, everything's all right in my Father's house. We see that we get to delight. I told you I'd give you three words. We've got trust. Are you trusting in the Lord? I mean, really, are you trusting in Him? Now, there may be somebody here this morning or that's watching or listening that you need to trust the Lord as your Savior. You know that you and I are sinners. We all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. And a person must turn to Christ, acknowledge Him for who He is, believe on Him. Maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to lean way back and just say, Lord, I'm yours. But many others in this room, you know that, Pastor. He said, Brother John, I've already done that. I'm saved. I know that. Then our advice to you, my advice to you is the same thing. You still need to trust in the Lord at the stage of life that you're in. You need to delight in Him. You need to trust in Him. You need to rely on Him for whatever's happening. Remember this. Whatever hasn't happened yet, you don't know, but God does. So if I'm going to count on somebody, it's not going to be you. It's going to be Him. Sometimes we like to talk to people who have been in our stage of life. Maybe we're starting a business. I want to talk to a businessman who's already been down the road 3 or 4 or 15 years. That's good. But I can tell you who else to talk to. Talk to that businessman and the Lord. Maybe a pastor like me wants to, when he has something come up, and as I did when we've done different things here at the church, I've talked to my pastor and other pastors and gotten great advice. But can I tell you, not only should I be doing that, there's in the multitude of counselors, there's safety and there's wisdom, yes, but I also need to be going to the great counselor, the Lord Jesus. I need to trust in Him. And then number two, I need to delight. It's time that some of us in this room, we start enjoying the journey that God put us on. You say, why would you say that? Because I meet a lot of people who are not enjoying it at all. They're just kind of muddling through, waiting for the end. My friend, God gave you richly all these things to enjoy. He didn't want you to come and live your life with a frown and go through all these things. He gave us the things that we have so that we might fulfill His will in our lives, and so we might glorify Him, and that we might delight also thyself in the Lord. Number three, in verse number five, if you look there, the third word is this: commit. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This word commit just means to roll into it, meaning to get all in. You ever tried to work on something in your dress clothes? Amy said, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've seen you in a white shirt. She said, I've seen you shovel gravel. I've seen you underneath a car. I've seen you run a chainsaw. I've seen you run hedge trimmers. I've seen you do all this. And I've done all that thinking that it's not worth the time to go change clothes. Usually I regret that, but it's not worth the time to go change clothes, then come back. I think I can do it. But here's what happens every time that you're in dress clothes and you're trying to do a job that you ought not be doing. You reach way out here and try to work where you're not very effective. You try to reach way out here and hold that greasy thing, that dirty thing, whatever it is, away from you so you don't bring it in here. You're not rolling into it. Now you see some guys, they're dirty from head to toe whenever they touch the first greasy thing on a car. And that's one thing for sure, he's rolling into it. There's a couple different ways also to get into a cold pool or cool or a cold lake. You can stand on the side and... Whoa. And then put the other one down in there and then just gradually let your body adjust. Or you can be like the old redneck that just steps back and says, all right. And boogity, 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 here I come. And he just cannonballs right into it. Takes his breath away, but he did it. Well, I'm not recommending you do either one. I don't care how you get into your pool in September. But I am saying this. God tells us, commit thy way unto the Lord. Meaning just you get in it all the way. God wants every single Christian to be a full-time Christian. You're not all supposed to be doing what I'm doing. I understand not everybody's supposed to be the pastor or the pastor's wife. Everybody's not, there's many different things. Everybody's not supposed to go to Mozambique. But every believer is supposed to be a full-time Christian. Amen. Meaning we're always on. We're into this thing. We're jumping into it. I'm not dabbling in Christianity. I don't have this on the side. I'm full force. I'm taking my coat off. I'm rolling up my sleeves. And I'm standing in, getting in to what God wants me to do. If we had a family, somebody in a family, and they only showed up really in body every night to go to bed, but they really weren't there. They're more engaged in work than they were with their family, their children. We would tell that person, if we had an audience with them, we'd say, listen, you need to dive in there. You need to commit to it. Those children need you. That husband, that wife, they need you. Well, I would give you the same advice you'd give that person. You ought to dive into that Christian life. Dive into those things that God's put into your path to be doing. He says that He wants you to gauge or jump into it. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. I give you this last thing. It's not one of the words, but if you look down just a couple of verses in verse number 7, interesting when this word comes, and that is in verse 7, it says rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That verse number 7 says to rest. Well, this trust, the delight, and commit comes before the rest. And some of us want to pass over all three of those and just say, I'd just like to rest. I like to take it easy for a bit. That rest is not really that take it easy, kick back and be at a mountain retreat somewhere or at an ocean somewhere. That really, that rest is just truly, spiritually speaking, that you lean way back in him and you let him prepare, let him console you for whatever's ready to become, whatever ready is to come up next. But it's only after that trust. It's only after that delight. And it's only after that commit that we can get to that point where we say, Lord, I'm yours. I don't know when it was. I haven't got to ask the Nalties, our missionaries, when they surrendered to go into the ministry, when they surrendered to go to Mozambique, when they gave their lives to God's service. But somewhere or another, they raised up the white flag of surrender and they said, Lord, I'd rather be in Mozambique resting in you than at Pensacola, Florida, trying to do something that I've come up with. And I haven't asked them this either, but I know their heart, and that is, it was a joyful day when they just gave up and said, Lord, I'll do it. Amen. But it's also a joyful day for many of yours, you're in this room, when God had been working on you and said, you need to get back in church. You need to get back worshiping together with the family. Need to be serving the Lord. Need to be encouraging people. It was a wonderful day when you quit, when you let that argument be put aside and you just said, Lord, I'll do it. That rest came. So is God worthy of your trust? You better believe it. Your delight and your commitment? I submit that he is. I believe that when we have trouble finding God's will, and when we have trouble finding God's peace, and when we have trouble in resting, it's because we're not doing one of these three words right. We're either not trusting him, we're not delighting in him, or we're not committing our ways to him. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, I hope that before you leave this room, you would have a little prayer meeting with God, either up here or there in your seat. You'd have a little prayer meeting with God. Says, God, I can trust you. I'm going to delight in the things that you delight in. I'm going to commit my ways to you. And if you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know about Jesus and you know who he was, so to speak. But you've never acknowledged him as the only Savior. You've never put your faith in him. My friend, today is that day. You need to be saved. Would you bow your heads together with me? These are the ways to face uncertainty. These three words, right from Psalm 37. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now. And Lord, thank you for the time to be in your house. Thank you for letting your word get into us, dear Lord. I pray, dear God, that we would be biblically ready to face uncertainty. Lord, I pray that we would delight. I pray that we would commit. I pray that we would trust. Help us, dear Lord, with our needs. And help us to count on you in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies play something softly through? And if God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Need to come and give some things to the Lord. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Maybe you just need to come and give some things to the Lord. You've been carrying it long enough. Give it over. Aren't you tired of worrying and fretting and fuming and fussing? Trust in him. Commit it to him. Delight in him. Maybe somebody needs to be saved this morning. Would you step out and come? let us take a Bible and show you how you be sure that you're putting Christ as the only Savior, which He is. You're acknowledging that and receiving Him as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here and you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I invite you to come. In your life, would you step out and come? And if you need somebody to pray with you, we'll certainly do that. Thank you so much. You can look this way. What a joy to be in church. Thank you for being here. And I want to, if you don't know them yet, Brother Jim and Miss Tony, would you all mind coming down here by Daniel? They are wonderful blessings to me, the Jim and Tony Armson, and they're saved and baptized. They were down in Florida and helped serve at a church down there, but they've been such an encouragement and blessing to me and to our church. And so they have, God's led them, I should say, to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we rejoice with that, and we're certainly thankful God has brought them our way. And so we would just need a motion to accept them into the membership. Brother Steve Mullins makes that motion. Shannon Barker, who seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amen. What a joy, and I hope several of you get by to get to meet them, and you will find them like I do, very sweet and wonderful Christian folks that just love the Lord and have a heart just to serve Him. And so they're a great, great blessing to me and great blessing to the church, I know, as well. So hopefully get by and meet them. I'll be out in the lobby with Amy. And ladies, please sign up for that meeting this Saturday, 6 days from now, and I know you will not regret it. It's the lunch or the brunch, whatever it is free. Just sign up for that so they'll know how many to prepare for, and we'll have a wonderful time. And then don't forget, not Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll have a great time at the missions conference. Thank you so much for being here. God bless. You're dismissed.